We come now to the Word of God and read firstly in the Psalms, Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and to them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. And now let us go to our portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And may the Lord bless to us and grant us each one an understanding of Holy Scripture. Amen. Now, last time in our study of Luke's Gospel, we came in this pattern prayer given by the Lord Jesus to the third of the petitions, which is contained there, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Or to use the language of the version in Matthew's Gospel, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we said that this particular petition is entirely in accordance with those that have gone before. It follows, if we may so say so logically or naturally, from them. For the prayer has also spoken of the fatherhood of God, of the holiness of God, of the heavenly estate of God, of the kingship of God. And so those things being said concerning him, it is entirely sensible and in order that we should also pray, Thy will be done, because this is what we would expect in the case of one who is a father and who is king and who is absolutely holy and is preeminent above all. And so we asked a succession of questions about this petition in the prayer. What will is it that we are praying might be done? We said that, of course, God's secret will, as it pertains to all his works, his eternal purposes, well, this is always going to be fulfilled and so scarcely requires our prayers about it. Yet nevertheless, we said that the prayer relates to our experience and to our submission to the will of God as it is outworked in our daily lives, even as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, as we observed in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done," as it began to be outworked. But very particularly, we pray this supplication in relation to the revealed will of God, that is to say, the commandments and instructions and injunctions which he has given us in his word. Here is a desire that it might be put into practice, that it might be obeyed, that it might be fulfilled. And notice this, that it is God's will we are praying about. And this means that if the will of man, or those set in authority over us, or those who are instructing and influencing us, if that will comes into contradiction with God's, well, God's is to be performed in priority. But one said that the human will that most often comes into conflict with God's, which we have most to be concerned about, is our own, and how that our own wills and desires, which are so often carnal and fleshly, and promoted by our old nature, these are to be in submission and subjection to the will of God. And so then we ask to what standard God's will is to be performed, and we see that it is a heavenly standard. And we considered those who are seen to do the will of God in heaven, the three persons of the Trinity, and the concord and agreement which is betwixt them, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the spirits of the just made perfect, who are before the throne and who serve God day and night sinlessly and perfectly, and likewise the hosts of angels, equally without sin, who as a flame of fire go forth to do the will of God. This is the standard to which we are to desire his will to be done on earth also. To what extent do we desire his will to be done? Well, to an eternal extent. Heaven again is the standard. We are to desire that the will of God might be done forevermore, for all time, for all eternity. Well, by whom then, we asked, is God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Whilst his angelic ministers have duties to perform, no doubt, and works to fulfill in this present world, this prayer does not pertain to them. The worldling is not concerned with the will of God, the revealed will of God, and is scarcely likely to attend to it except for enlightenment and salvation being granted. And so then we observe that we are to be the fulfillers of this very petition. We cannot pray this prayer unless we are willing to become part of the answer and to be those that perform the will of God as his as the scriptures have shown it unto us. An impossible order, we might think, an impossibly tall order or task to attain unto, but we are reminded how that it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he can grant that it might be so even for us. Well, now, from this point, we move on this evening to the fourth of the petitions contained in this prayer. Give us day by day our daily bread, as Luke 11, verse 3 translates it for us, or give us this day our daily bread, to refer to Matthew chapter 6. Here is the next part of this prayer, the next clause or supplication contained in it. But it is of importance to note the order which is given to these supplications. Now, my friends, before we launch into our examination of it, let me suggest to you that here is a prayer which I do not believe any of us have truly learned to pray. And I say that with a degree of confidence, because we all live in this part of the world, in the Western Hemisphere, here in the United Kingdom, and we have lived in a period of time when there has been great prosperity all around us, which to some degree or another we have all been able to enjoy. We have known very little of the absolute poverty and the grinding privation which obtained in various parts of the world still to this present time and has done in this land in former generations. Rarely, I think, has any one of us been in a situation of being close to starvation and wondering whether we shall have food and drink sufficient to a 24-hour period. But let us not lose sight of the fact that this has been the lot of many of God's people in former generations, and indeed to the disciples to whom the Lord Jesus first gave these instructions. You recall that as they went from place to place, as they journeyed with the Lord, there were those times where they were so hungry that they took of the growing wheat in the field and ground the grains between their fingers just for something to eat, which I think gives an indication of just how much they endured hunger on certain times within their earthly life and experience. And they knew what it was to go without, and they knew what it was to have real uncertainty about the meeting of their basic fundamental human needs, a state which, as I say, few of us have had any extensive experience of. And yet, my friends, let us also register that the disciples themselves were not always in such a condition as that. There were other seasons in the disciples' experience where their immediate needs were defrayed, where they were met, and abundantly met. We know that there was a period of time after the establishment of the New Testament church when the number of persons being gathered together and having their goods in common, there was provision that could be made for the disciples of the Lord Jesus there in Jerusalem. We know, of course, from the First Corinthian epistle that the likes of Peter and also Barnabas, who is mentioned by name, these were maintained by the Lord's people to such an extent that they could support not only themselves but also their dependents. And so in those periods in their life, there was a greater provision for them and less poverty and less anxiety concerning their bodily needs. But the point of the prayer is this, my friends, and the Lord Jesus' instruction is this: give us this day our daily bread. We might say that here is a daily prayer. Here is a prayer that needs to be made always, needs to be made often. Here is a prayer which is independent of our circumstances. And though, of course, situations might arise which drive us or have driven the Lord's people to cry unto him about these matters, that is not the pattern which the Lord is setting down. He is teaching us that we need to pray this prayer daily. And this lesson also we should learn as we proceed. Give us day by day our daily bread. Well, my friends, this petition, as we have observed, is the fourth in this prayer. And there is no coincidence about the ordering of these things. There is a priority order which the Lord has laid down for us in this pattern. And before ever we come to this matter of our personal needs and the necessities of life, there is much that precedes it in ascribing and acknowledging God and according the praise and the glory, unto him, praying of the holiness of his name, praying concerning his kingdom and its extension and his will being performed. All these things, you note, are set in order before this petition. Here is an important point for us to register. You see, so often, my friends, particularly if circumstances have driven us to prayer, or if particularly if need has forced us into an attitude of supplication, that is the first and foremost thing upon our minds. And so easy it becomes, even in more regular prayer, to be so focused upon giving to the Lord our great list of needs. Perhaps those needs are great. Perhaps those needs are profound. Perhaps those needs or that crisis is as fundamental as to relate to our sustenance and to our survival. But my friend, still we should realize that the glory of God is to precede even this, and that if we pray aright, we cannot pray for any need, however great, however pressing, however urgent, without first having some acknowledgement of God and coming before him in a spirit of praise and adoration. This must come first, even if we are pleading with him for something of great urgency and great import and great moment. We still must not neglect to first give the honor and praise which is due unto his name. So that is where this supplication comes in order in the prayer. But then notice with me, if you will, the direction in which this prayer is being made, or to whom this supplication is being made. And you might think, well, this is surely almost too simple a question to need asking, because this prayer is being made to God. Now, of course it is being made to God. It is a prayer all being made to our Father which is in heaven. That is the direction, that is the ascription in which this prayer is being offered. And we might say, well, what is the significance of this? Why do we need to remember that it is unto God that we are to come praying, give us day by day our daily bread? Well, you know, my friends, it is all too easy for us as human, mortal beings to become entirely focused upon secondary agencies, upon those intermediate means which God hath ordained, and to think that this is the source of our supply, and this is the way in which we need to direct our petitions and supplications. Perhaps we find ourselves in want of something. Perhaps we find ourselves facing a particular need. What, I wonder, is our first thought? We think, well, we're in financial straits here. Perhaps we're going to need to speak to the bank. Perhaps we're going to have to see if we can arrange for some credit or for some overdraft. Perhaps we start to think in those terms. We will have to get some financial advice, or we shall have to turn to some relative or friend and see whether they can bail us out. Or perhaps our needs are medical. Perhaps they pertain to our bodies. And we think, well, we have a need of health and strength. We are going to have to seek some advice. We're going to need to ask whether anyone has some medication. We're going to need to seek out the aid of a doctor and to see what can be done for our state. Or perhaps we have an even more pressing need pertaining to these basic necessities of life, as food and water and sustenance and shelter. And perhaps in that crisis, our brains begin to work overtime and we think, well, who has these things? Who might have a surfeit of these things or redundancy of these things? Who is kindly disposed towards us and might help us out in this strait and in this dilemma? Let us turn to them. Let us ask them for it. As pertains to this matter of bread, which is here mentioned, surely the disciples knew. They knew the sort of persons from whom bread could be procured. They knew, perhaps, those friends and acquaintances who might have sufficient and to spare for themselves. They knew who were the friends of the Lord Jesus, and by extension of his disciples, who might give them hospitality in a time of need. You remember that favorable reception they had had in Bethany at the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Perhaps this is the way their minds would work if hunger really pressed them and if they were wanted for bread. But no, says the Lord, when ye pray, say, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Ask God first. Ask God first. What an important lesson is here, my friends, and I wonder how often we put it into practice. Are we guilty of working backwards, so to speak? Are we guilty of commencing with ourselves and starting to think of human agencies and of these intermediate means which God hath ordained for our provision? And we think we will make appeal to them. We think we will go first to them. We think we will begin in a logical or sensible place, humanly speaking. No, says the Lord Jesus, you have things back to front. When ye are in need, when ye have these wants and these burdens pressed upon you, the first place to turn is to God. Our Father which art in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Because ultimately, my friends, or primarily perhaps we ought better to say, all things come from him. All things proceed from his hand. Yes, my friends, there are these means available. There are these intermediate sources of good and relief to which we may apply ourselves. But still, God is sovereign over these. And still God is preeminent over these, and still it is God who enables these to be of any aid or assistance unto us. And you see, my friends, this is why the scriptures remind us in James that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. All these things that we have need of, whatever route they might take in reaching us, proceed in the first instance from God. And it is to him in the first instance that we should pray and apply ourselves, because all these things are under his control. It is he who makes them effective. It is he who makes them favorable towards us. Why then do we fail to speak in the first instance to our Father in prayer? Well, will you notice with me also the nature of this request? What are we actually asking God to do? And it is all contained in this little word, give. Give. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, we are not saying to God, pay us our dues. We are not saying to God, let us have what we deserve, or let us have what we have earned. We are not saying to God, well, we've done our due labors, we have done the work of our hands, we have received our salary or our payment for this, well, let us now turn it into the things that we have need of, because we deserve them, we've earned them, we are owed them. No, we are saying to God, give us our daily bread, because it is a gift, because it is unmerited and undeserved, because it is at his prerogative to bestow it. You see, my friends, we have such an earthbound and such a man-bound view of our goods, don't we? We think they are ours. We have earned them. We have got a right to them. We have worked for these things. These are our just deserts. These are our property. These are our things. No, my friends, all that we have proceeds from God. All of it. And to remind us of this, you recall how Job, that richest man of the East, was caused to reflect upon how he had come into the world with nothing at all. He had come, as we all come, naked from our mother's womb, and could call nothing ourselves in that stage. Even those who have been born heirs to the greatest of kingdoms or to vast monetary wealth, they cannot call it their own as a newborn infant. They have not the ability to do so. They cannot speak a word. They cannot even move their hand to grasp, as it were, one coin or one thing of any value. No, my friends, all that we have, all that we possess, has come from God and has been granted us by him and at his prerogative and according to his will. And this is why, even in the most practical or mundane of matters, even in the most basic or elementary of needs, we need to ask his grace. We need to ask him to give it us, because we have not the means to procure it for ourselves. When considered in this view, It is in him that we live and move and have our being. It is he that giveth any ability to get gain in the first place. And so we must ask him to be gracious. We must ask him to be merciful. We must ask him to bestow these things upon us as a gift from his hands, because it is all a gift. It is all granted at his indulging of it. And he is the one who in an instant may take it away if he so please. And so we ask that he might be gracious and that he might give. Well, now there is another detail to note in this third verse. And that is in the persons who are concerned in this prayer. And here is an important point to make. We are very familiar with the language of the Lord's Prayer, with the grammar of it, and we are perhaps very used to these pronouns that appear. But bear in mind that the Lord Jesus might as easily have directed his disciples to pray in these terms: give me day by day my daily bread, forgive me my sins, as I also forgive others. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. But you will notice, my friends, that in every one of these petitions, it is a plural pronoun. And he teaches his disciples to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Now, my friends, this is not simply some grammatical necessity. It is not simply the case that, well, the Lord Jesus was speaking to a plurality of his disciples, and so he was obliged to use this plural pronoun. No, indeed. There is more for us to register or to learn here. And it is this, my friends, that however great our needs, however pressing our woes or the problems that we face, we can never become selfish in our praying. And whatever our plight might be, or whatever emergency or crisis we face, we should register the fact that there are likely others affected by the same thing, and that there are likely others in the same plight as we are. And indeed, by virtue of the fact that no man is an island, as the old saying goes, but that invariably we are all connected to friends, to family, to dependents, perhaps those who rely upon us for their provision, why then we should be concerned with them as well. You see, my friends, in these petitions in which we are instructed here, we pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. Not only for ourselves, but also for others. And the Lord Jesus would have us recognize this. And he says, even if you are in a desperate place, even if you are in desperate straits, do not become so self-obsessed as to exclude others from your praying. But spare a thought for those who are caught up in the same crisis as you are. Think not only of your immediate bodily needs, but perhaps those who are dependent upon you, those who are relying upon you for their provision. And hold these also in your supplications. Give us, day by day, our daily bread. Not even, my friends, in the most desperate plight, is any Christian permitted to be self-centered, to be selfish, or to cease to make intercession in prayer on behalf of others also. We are to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. And then notice, if you will, my friends, the timing of this prayer. Give us day by day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Since this particular time span is mentioned, since this particular periodicity is referred to, we learn that this is to be a daily prayer. It is to be a daily prayer for daily needs. And this is such an important aspect of the petition, my friends, that I believe it is so often lost upon us. It is a prayer that we need to pray every day, whether that is a day of plenty or a day of poverty, whether that is a day of want or a day of great abundance. Whatever the circumstances and our immediate financial or pecuniary state might be, we have need of this prayer. It is a prayer to be prayed every day. Because, my friends, day by day, we are dependent upon the Lord. And it is entirely erroneous to begin looking at these things and from a humanistic point of view and saying, well, today the bank balance is in a favorable condition. Today the kitchen is full of food. Today we have all that we need for another week. And so we have less need for this prayer today because there is an abundance around us. But now, if things become more constrained, and if our financial situation sinks somewhat, and if need is beginning to press us more closely, why then now we do have need to pray. No, says the Lord, that is not the way to think about it. It is give us day by day our daily bread. It is a daily prayer to be raised unto the Lord. It is a prayer that we are always in need of. Because, you know, my friends, need can come upon us at a moment. And our circumstances can alter in far less than a period of a day. They can alter in an hour. They can alter in a moment. You know, I remember a very godly man. He was a minister of a church in the Midlands some decades ago. And in later years, he suffered from a brain tumor. From which he recovered for a period. But one of the consequences of this illness which he had was that he lost his appetite and had no relish whatsoever for food, and his sense of taste was greatly diminished. And I was speaking to him once and asking how he was doing and was he recovering and so forth, and he was back on food again and building up his strength and so forth. And he said to me then, he said, always be thankful for your appetite. He said that he'd taken it for granted for so many years. And he said, even in abundance of food, if there's no appetite or no ability to eat it, why then all the food in the world can hardly do you any good. And it's a thought that struck me then and has remained with me till this present time. You see, my friends, we might have an abundance of means. We might have an abundance of supply. We might have all the bread, all the food, all the material wealth that we could wish for. But we might not have the means to partake of it. We might not have the means to enjoy it. We might not have the faculties any longer to receive the good or benefit that we expect from it. And this is why we have need for constant reliance and constant dependence upon the Lord. Give us day by day our daily bread. Grant us the supply, Lord. Grant us the means to use the supply. Grant us the faculties to receive the good of that supply, because these things are all in thy hand. These things could, in a moment of time, be taken from us, and we rely upon thee for the giving of them. You see, my friends, this is a prayer we need to make in every circumstance of life, and I fear we often fail. We often fail. We perhaps come to our meal tables, and we give thanks to the Lord for the food that is before us. But how often, I wonder, do we pray that he might grant it at the next meal? How often do we pray in advance that he might make gracious provision for us and for our needs? We need to learn to pray this prayer more often and more earnestly. Well, let us look now at what is the subject of this petition ultimately. How does the Lord Jesus phrase it in this example that he gives us? He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus could have used any form of words. He could have used almost any metaphor. There are any number of ways, linguistically, that he might have expressed those things which are necessary to our existence. He could have said, give us the essentials of life. He could have said, give us those necessities of our bodies. He could have said, give us day by day our daily water, our daily meat. Give us a flow of milk and honey. But no, he says, give us day by day our daily bread. And this, my friends, is so important for us to register, because this tells us how we may rightly and properly frame our prayers. You see, bread in that culture, as in ours, is one of those most basic of foods, one of those most fundamental and simple of foods. The Lord Jesus here does not permit us to ask for a great feast to be spread. He does not here give us permission to ask for all the delicacies of life. He does not here authorize us to pray for luxuries and for an overabundance. He does not permit us to pray for the indulgence of our lusts and our carnal appetites. He says we may pray for our daily bread. And you know, we have another example of how to pray in this sort of a way and in this fashion contained in the Proverbs. And here in Proverbs 30, we have these perhaps familiar lines where this inspired man speaks in these terms. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Feed me with food convenient for me. My friends, in perhaps a few more words, this exemplifies or expresses what our Lord Jesus is teaching. Give us day by day our daily bread. A daily portion, a reasonable portion, a seasonable portion of bread never made a man fat, and it never let a man go thin. It is a reasonable amount. It is like the manna which the people of old were instructed to collect in the wilderness. And you remember, he that gathered much had no excess, and he that gathered least had no want. And there was a pattern in that, a pattern which is replicated in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us that which is convenient. Let us not go short and wanting, which might move us to complain against the heavens and to take the name of our God in vain. But equally, and a prayer I think which we find much harder to pray, give me neither riches. Don't give me an overabundance, Lord. Don't give me a surfeit. Don't give me such a surplus that I become less dependent upon thee, that I become forgetful of thee, that I begin to fail in making this daily prayer for daily provision. You see, the Lord does not teach us to pray, give us this day a harvest field that we may reap enough wheat to keep us in bread for years. We are not authorized to pray, "Well, Lord, let these investments prosper so that for years to come I'll have an abundance and never want again." He does not teach us to pray, "Lord, let the value of my house keep increasing so that my financial status keeps going up." No, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I have need of for this present time, for this present day, and then tomorrow bring me again before thy feet to ask once again and to seek thy goodness and the gifts of thy hand in these matters." It is also interesting to note, my friends, that this possessive pronoun comes again in the subject of the petition. Give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread. And there is a lesson in this as well. You see, my friends, we cannot pray to be given the bread of another. It is no good coming to the Lord and saying, "Oh Lord, give me the same sort of things as you've given to my neighbor." It's no good coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, give me his portion. Give me their wealth. Give me the things that they have got." No, indeed, because we have no right to pray for such things. "Lord, give me those things which are needful to me. Give me those things which thou knowest and thou seest that I have need of." You see, my friends, one man's riches might be regarded by another as poverty, because we all perhaps work on a very different scale. And so trying to hold ourselves on some relative scale by comparison with others is doomed to failure and is doomed to discontentment. No, says the scripture, no, says the Lord Jesus, give us day by day our daily bread. That food which is convenient to me and to my situation. And, my friends, the fact that we may call it our own does not absolve us from praying to God for it. Do you notice that? Even though it is our daily bread, that which perhaps we have labored to procure, that which we have worked for, that which we intend to pay for with our own money, so to speak, yet we cannot on that account say, well, then I don't need to pray about it to the Lord. It's my daily bread. I've worked hard to get it. I've got the means to pay for it. And so I can leave God out of the equation. No, indeed. Even though we might call it ours, even though it might rightfully or lawfully or financially be ours, still it is a matter for prayer. Still we must ask it of the Lord, that he might bestow it upon us, that he might allow us to possess it and to use it. Give us day by day our daily bread. Well, my friends, this petition, as with so many of the others, is full of meaning, is full of truth. The Lord Jesus used a great economy of language when he gave us this pattern, but of course that it stands to reason that coming from him, it would be packed with great worlds of meaning and of instruction, which if we but scratch the surface, we begin to see. Now, let me say that this petition is intended to be practical. It has a very clear relation to our material needs. But my friends, I feel we cannot leave this petition without also adding a further spiritual dimension to it. Because let me remind you, my friends, how that the Lord Jesus tells us, pertaining to the natural bread which man has need of, that it is essential at the same time for us to recall that man doth not live by bread only, but that we who are God's people have need of something even more than that. There is that which we are to regard as of greater import than our necessary food. And we should learn to seek God and to pray and supplicate him to give this also. You remember the Lord Jesus' words in John chapter 6. He says, verily, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Here the Lord Jesus was speaking of the bread of life. And the people, when they heard him speak in these terms, most of them perhaps still very carnal and earthly in their thinking, well, they cried unto him and they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Oh, they thought, here is what we need. Just imagine, a foodstuff that we could eat and never need to eat again, or a foodstuff that we could eat and live forever. That's what we want. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This bread, says the Lord Jesus, is the word of God, the truth of God. And I am the embodiment of that. I am the word that was ever with the Father. I bring his truth. I embody his truth. I exemplify and express his truth. I am the source of this bread, which is of greater import than physical food, because whilst physical food might sustain the body in time, the word of God, the truth of God, which cometh through me alone, says the Lord Jesus, that will sustain the soul for eternity. And my friends, if we would rightly frame our prayers, if we would pray unto the Lord daily, give us our daily bread, let us never fail to include this. And reflecting upon the Lord Jesus and the truth which is enshrined in him, and recognizing that this is of essential requirement for our soul's life and sustenance, let us learn also to add to our supplications, Lord, evermore give us this bread. May God grant it ever to us, to his name and glory's sake. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 735. Number 735, and in this particular tune we repeat the third line, verse 3. Through each perplexing path of life, our wandering footsteps guide, give us each day our daily bread, and raiment fit provide. The hymn 735, we repeat the third line. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.